live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. I'm Sam, he's Kurt, you're you. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. This is indeed the broadcast for July 6th in the year of our Lord, 2017. All kinds of news the networks refuse to use going on. Hi, Kurt. Uh-oh, we lost Kurt now.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, now you were trying to say something there, Kurt.
Well, just that, I'm here. There was a little snafu last hour, but anyway, I'm glad to hear again. I can hear pretty well.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. I like that. All right, we got Jeremy Corden, UPMA, back on the line, upma.org. That's the United Precious Metals Association. He's the marketing guy. He's the genius behind it all, I guess, in terms of letting people know what's going on. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
All right, we had an interesting caller last hour that said, hey, Sam, what do you think of Bitcoin? And I'll tell you my answer, but I'd like you to answer the question freshly. And then, you know, we can get to my points that I made and talk about a little bit more. But what do you think of Bitcoin, Jeremy?
Well, it's another option out there, and I'm glad it's there.
You're glad Bitcoin's there?
Sure. Sure, yeah. The more alternatives people have to the Federal Reserve, the better. It's not for everybody. You know, my grandma's probably never going to figure out Bitcoin. And some people don't like, you know, some of these cryptocurrencies because they don't feel like any inherent value is there. But there's scarcity. But there's, you know, because there's a finite number of Bitcoins. But there's not a finite number of cryptocurrencies. You know, I think we have 800 cryptocurrencies right now. We're probably going to have another 800 before the year's over, is what they're telling me. So, there's advantages and disadvantages to everything else. But if you have a competing market and different currencies out there that people can pick from, you know, I think that's a good thing.
And I agree, the more options we have, in other words, competition's good, the more options we have to the Federal Reserve, the better. There's no doubt that's true. My big problem with it is that it's dishonest, fake money. It's fiat by nature, just like all the other ones, whether you use a paper dollar and print it out, or a digital currency not derived by intrinsic value, honest money, it's a fiat currency. And so maybe it's better than other fiat currencies to some degree, but it's still fiat currency,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, I suppose you could look at it that way. You know, I mean, I think people think it's refreshing that it's just not issued by a central bank, you know, and that it's not being inflated. You know, the wealth isn't being stolen in that way. And every cryptocurrency is a little bit different, right? And I think, like I said, I think there's about 800 of them out there right now. You know, and some people think it's just a giant bubble, you know, because they've gone up so much, you know, probably above their, you know, intrinsic value, which, you know, is only the value that people lend to it because it's fiat, right? It's fiat in the sense that it's not sound, it's not hard money, it's not sound money. And when I tell people, I say, hey, you know, you can put $1,000 into cryptos, but you're probably doing it to get rich. You're not doing it to have a sound money system, right? You're gambling.
Yeah, you're also not doing it for financial stability necessarily, right?
Right, you know, because your crypto is to go up 30% or down 30% in a day, right? And kind of depending on the whims of the market, you know, whereas gold and silver, it's sound money because, you know, it's been inflation proof, you know, for this past 106,000 years. Not 106,000 years, but, you know, so it's a better store of value, right? I'd rather put 10 gold coins in a box than any miscellaneous cryptocurrency, because I don't know which cryptocurrencies are going to have any value in 10 years or if any of them will, but I know gold does.
Well, and that's why the founders understood this idea of intrinsic value. The Bible calls gold and silver currency honest or honest weights and measures. And I think we really need to kind of understand that. People say, well, Sam, what's so it's a big deal about a piece of gold or a piece of silver? You know, I can use some grain or I can trade for this and that, and I can use barter currencies, can't I, Sam? And the answer is, of course you can. The more physical the currency, the more measurable the currency, the more universal but rare the currency. In other words, you got to have all these different properties to make something good for money. And so you can use anything you want to for medium of exchange. Some things just have more value, more stability, more safety, more portability, more than others, right?
Sure.
And I would submit gold and silver basically fit the bill perfectly. There's nothing more portable, nothing of greater intrinsic value. It doesn't matter where you go. Gold and silver seems to always have value.
Yeah, every culture seems to lend value to gold and silver. You know, every nation, you know, if you look at India, you know, those people buy, you know, most of the gold mined every year, you know. And for them, you know, religiously, gold is wealth. That doesn't go away, you know, and you can't breathe that out of a people. Now, as far as having a perfect money goes, I think there's some things to be learned and some things to be done. One thing special that UPMA does is we only use legal tender gold and silver. So the U.S. government mints gold and silver. They've been doing it since the 80s, ever since Reagan gave it the green thumb or the thumbs up again. And, you know, so you have a 1 ounce $50 gold coin and a 1 ounce $1 silver coin. Now, when I say legal tender, that's special. Because if you were to purchase something with a Bitcoin, or if you were to pull out a 10-ounce silver bar and purchase something with it, the IRS could go after you for a capital gain, depending on what you paid for that silver bar or that Bitcoin or that whatever you're using to barter for something else. But if you were to make a purchase with a gold coin that had a $50 value stamped on it, at that point, you're not making a barter transaction. You're spending legal tender gold. And that makes you immune from a capital gain implication during that purchase.
You want to chime in on this, Kurt?
You know, it's amazing to me. One of the points that Jeremy made is key, if you ask me. You know, I'm just saying something that I'd like to highlight. And that is, as we continue to use more and more of what we call honest money, whether it's, you know, I like to have it available even when I'm, you know, selling the raw honey. People look at you like, what's the... you know, why do you have the silver dollars there? What are the old dimes and quarters? What's that for? And I say, well, honey saves you money, but I also want to point out what honest money was really like, at least by looking at the old ones. And then you can ask them a simple question. When they look at the 2017 silver dollar from the United States Mint, they go, I didn't know they made those. And you know, so at least to me, it's a key issue as to competition. As you put more and more of that into society, then it kind of drives out the bad, I think, when you get the good in there.
Jeremy, your thoughts?
You know what? I think people prefer sound money. I think people want what's going to have value later. And the more people understand that you're going to be losing 3-5% every year on accepting the Federal Reserve note, less people want it, right? I mean, do you want to store, you know, 10 grand, 100 grand in something that's going to lose 3-5%? I mean, you could stick it back in the bank in a CD and get 1%, but you're still losing the game at 1%. You essentially got to stick it in the stock market and gamble with it, and probably the overinflated stock market, and, you know, just to break even on inflation every year, which, you know, how do you retire like that? You know, if you've got $1 million and you're trying to retire and you got to make 3-4% just to break even, you know, I mean, what they've done with the quantitative easing at the Fed is they've made it near impossible to retire just by saving up cash and living off that, right? So, you know, a lot of people that buy gold and silver, they just don't want to play the game anymore. You know, we got one UPMA member, you know, she put in a couple million dollars worth into UPMA. And her plan is to draw on that until, you know, for the next 30 years. And that's her retirement plan. And what we've done for people is, you know, there's other people going to precious metals trying to protect themselves from, you know, this kind of depreciation of their currency. But they do it in probably the worst possible way, you know. So they'll go into a coin store and they might pay $20 for a silver coin. You know, the premiums on them are somewhat high. But if they sell it back to the coin store, they get $17.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Details in seconds. Jeremy Corden, our guest. Sales and Marketing Department at UPMA.org. Get involved in the honest money movement today.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Jeremy Corden riding shotgun today, UPMA.org, the United Precious Metals Association, UPMA.org. You were basically saying right before the pause that, hey, if you go into a coin store, oftentimes you pay a premium for that silver coin. You pay $20. You want to sell that sucker back, and hey, you're lucky to get 17.
Yeah, you know, and that's a loss of 15%. You know, people buy these things to preserve their wealth, and if you're losing 15% walking out of the door of that store, how'd you do? You know, that's like buying a new car, right? That's like buying a brand new car, rolling it off the lot, and losing 10 to 15% on it. And feeling like you protected yourself somehow. And maybe you did. Maybe in the long term, if you park a new car in your garage, you're going to do better than the dollar. But what do you think?
Well, then you're just at the race to try to decide how to lose the least, right?
Right. Yeah, you're trying to lose the least. So one thing that UPMA does is a gold and silver repository, or we offer those services. Is we offer gold and silver accounts, but to the members, they can sell to each other at a zero buy sell spread. So the going price today is $20 for a silver coin. You can sell for $20 a silver coin to the same membership. And that way you don't lose anything. You know, you're not losing 10 or 15%. You're just, you know, you're preserving all your wealth.
Well, the thought is if it's money, what you're really buying is the ability to have that stored in a secure, safe vault to transfer. And now you're creating this portability piece of it where you use honest weights and measures, real money with intrinsic value. But now you're saying let's put a modern day portable front on it, where when I say front, I mean an app or a website, the ability to deal with it in real time without taking physical delivery of that currency every minute. You've now got, in my mind, the best of both worlds. You got the real honest money. There's literally millennia old in terms of its portability and usability and reliability. And now you put it into the digital age, right?
Sure. You know, and you've got two options to spend it. You can spend it as silver coins. So you got a neighbor that, you know, has something you want, or, you know, someone you want to pay with gold or silver. You can pay them in gold or silver using UPMA. Now, if you've got a bill and your mortgage company doesn't want gold or silver, because bless their hearts, you know, you don't have to dig it up out of the backyard and sell it at a 10 to 15% loss. You know, you can just liquidate it as a zero buy sell spread and cover your mortgage or whatever other thing you got to take care of. You know, until the day comes when, you know, maybe we don't have to do that anymore.
The reason this is so critical, Kurt, is because people are looking for alternatives to the fiat bogus dollar. They realize they're getting fleeced. They don't know really why or how and some of the details behind it, but they know that it's a bad deal. And Americans are looking for, people around the world are looking for alternatives. They just don't know where to go. And when you get bitcoins and these other cyber digital currencies out there, all fiat by nature, it's kind of like people are just gravitating to whatever they think might be the next holy grail or the next panacea, the next benefit. What they need to do is look at UPMA, because what they'll get is they'll get tried and true constitutional currency, tried and true honest weights and measures, but then they'll also get a modern interface to that back end that gives it, in my opinion, a lot of that modern day tech feel that people are after. Seems like the blend that's the best of both worlds, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, and that's one of the reasons why we've invited the folks from the Utah Precious Metals Association on, ladies and gentlemen, to expose you to them so that you can evaluate their service, their ideas. It's, you know, our way of promoting honest money, you know, at least one way that we do it. And we like to make sound what is, well, or good and popular what is sound, and that's what we do here with the our good friends at the United Precious Metals Association.
Now, one of the things that's interesting in my mind with this is that, you know, gold and silver has been around forever. But the problem with it is that since the United States went to this fake currency years and years ago, and in the early 1970s literally took us off the constitutional currency gold and silver standard with appropriate weights and measures, you know, we've lost a lot of buying power with our dollar. But we've also lost other things that I don't think people realize. They just think, oh, well, all we got to do is make gold and silver legal again, and it's good. No, there's the practicality of using it on a day-to-day basis that's a much bigger mountain to climb, if you will. And that's one of the things that I like about the UPMA is not only have they put solutions on the table for returning us to constitutional currency, but when the going gets tough and the tough get going, instead of being like, well, I don't know how to solve that, they literally have answers to their liquid gold program and other things to deal with this, you know, you teach to the ideal and live in the real, Jeremy. The ideal is we want gold and silver coinage, and it should be that easy, and it should be legal tender, and that's the end of the day. But in a practical world, it's not that easy in these digital currencies and in this fast-paced society that we live in and everything. And so there's got to be a way to make it make sense for folks. The UPMA has thought through all that, and every step they take incrementally moves us closer and closer and closer to the usability and mainstreamability. I don't know if that's a word, but everybody gets what I'm saying, of this opportunity, of this gold and silver reality that our founders found so simple. Well, it's bringing it back in modern day. It's a restoration of honest money, and it's being done in a way that literally can live in a digital world, but it can be physical. You can have the gold and silver, or you can leave it in the vault, your choice. But the point is, we found a way to really do this. And the UPMA doesn't back down from those hard questions about, well, how do I use this in this world? Larry's in Alabama, and I'm over here, and how do I deal with money? And okay, they've found modern ways to solve all that, but stick with the true blue honest money with third-party auditor capabilities that can verify that it's all real and true. Nobody else is doing anything like this, are they, Jeremy?
You know, there's a couple other pioneers out there, but no one's using legal tender gold and silver for it. You know, other people have used grams of gold, you know, or little gold cubes, but they're not quite there. You know, we feel like in many ways we're on the cutting edge. Now, one thing that we're going to be trying to introduce next year is we're going to try to put gold and silver on a blockchain. Now, with this technology, it's the same technology behind cryptocurrencies, but this is actually backed by physical gold and silver and legal tender gold and silver. So you have three distinct advantages here. On a blockchain, you can move money all around. You know, so that's probably the best technology to do it, and it's transparent in the sense that you can see the whole system and know that it's not fraudulent. Now, and then the second aspect is you have gold and silver. So it's not a fiat value. It's a physical store of value. It's based off, you know, sound money. And then the third value is that being legal tender, you know, it's not going to be taxed or treated the same way that some of these other services are. You know, if you were to use gold money or something else, you know, you're liable for a capital gain when you spend, which isn't necessarily true with UPMA since we're using a legal tender.
Explain to people about this chain, because I don't think they understand what you're talking about. You're talking about a digital form representing what's physical, right?
Right, right. Blockchain is a new technology. And what it does is it allows somebody to come over and look, and you can see all the gold and silver transactions happening, and you can total it up and independently verify that fake gold and silver isn't being created out of the nothing in the system.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's a transparent digital way to encrypt so that it can't be tampered with, but display transparently what matches reality. And the system is such that it can't be tampered with or manipulated with is the idea behind these blockchains. Where, you know what, just because it's transparent, that doesn't mean it needs to be subject to security crisis or to tampering or to fraud or to hack. And that's kind of the idea behind it, is the encryption with the transparency that's kind of the new technology, right?
Right, right. And people love Bitcoin, you know, probably a $30 billion market or whatever it is, simply because they're transparent, you know, and you can see that the Bitcoins are real, you know, or as real as, you know, the code can be, right? And that when they circulate it, you know, they're getting something that's scarce and something that's going to be accepted later, you know, because the ledger is there. And maybe only 0.1% of people actually read this, you know, the ledger and verify these things. We just want to say that enough people do it that they don't have to worry about it themselves.
Well, and it's kind of like your checkbook, though. You know, everybody may not want to deal with all the details of accounting, but yet they do want to know that their money has integrity. They do want to know that things make sense in their minds. And so there's kind of two layers of this. There's the day-to-day reality, and then there's the people behind the scenes, the techies, the accountants, the bean counters, the whatever you want to call them, that really want to make sure that it's got the integrity that it needs. We'll talk about this because I think the world of money is a changing, folks, and the traditional banks are on the ropes, and things are going to change quickly. The question is, who's going to be on the front of it and how? And how do you fit in, and how do you make sure that your finances are protected, huh?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The Austrian government has moved armored vehicles to its border with Italy. The deployment is an effort to block migrants from coming in. The government promised up to 750 soldiers if additional backup is needed. Austria's defense minister said, quote, "I expect border controls will be introduced." Austria is holding an election in October. If the government doesn't show decisiveness on immigration, it's feared that Austria's Freedom Party could have major electoral gains. Italy has borne the brunt of the recent migration in Europe. And, of course, the nations that border Italy are growing more and more concerned that the problem will lap across the border into their nations. Saudi Arabia's recently deposed crown prince has been confined to the palace. His trusted bodyguards have been replaced with bodyguards loyal to the new crown prince. The old one has deep ties to Saudi intelligence. King Salman chose his son to inherit the throne and doesn't want the former crown prince to use his ties to the intelligence and military communities to leak classified information. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email, LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The banking cartel probably thought they'd never end up with competition, but man, it's exploding from PayPal to Bitcoin to who knows how many digital services and fiat systems are out there. But the UPMA, Utah Precious Metals Association, upma.org, has answers. And I submit to you that traditional day-to-day banking is going away. People are using debit cards prepaid style from Walmart. People are using PayPal. People are using Bitcoin. People are using all kinds of, and we haven't seen nothing yet as the portable cell phone or whatever you want to say, smartphone application market starts to boom, as people start to put together barter sites and eBay and trade centers of all kinds. And man, things are just shaking up in ways that are going to be disruptive to say the least. Jeremy, what do you think of my assertion that banks are, I don't know, they're getting a run for their money?
You know what? I tell people that if the banks are honest and there's never, you know, another hiccup like there was in 2007, 2008, they're still taking, you know, just the system, the Federal Reserve system still takes 3-4% of your money every year. You know, and that's if there's not a major banking collapse. If there's a major banking collapse, they could have a bail-in and take most of your savings. They could take your safety deposit box, you know, even under a law that was passed in 2010.
Doesn't sound fun, Kurt, but I'm convinced banks are on the ropes. If I pay Kurt Crosby for work well done and I pay him by PayPal, you know, banks are less involved in that transaction. If I pay him via UPMA, banks aren't involved in that transaction. You could say, well, Sam, banks issue these prepaid debit cards. And, you know, the banks still have an involvement in many things, no doubt about it, but their involvement's getting less. If we barter, if we this, if we that, in the early days of this stuff, you know, it wasn't as easy to see, but there's more and more and more challenges on the banks every day, Kurt. Do you think the banks are going to go away?
Well, what I like to see at least is there's some competition in this area. You know, before what you had was, you know, you basically had the Federal Reserve System and hardly anything else. Now at least there's continuing conversations and efforts to, well, promote what we call honest money. And we're talking about that right now.
Well, and more states are jumping aboard, too, and making the laws more friendly. It's a real long march to taking honest money and making it day-to-day usable in modern society. It's a long march. There's a lot of challenges and a lot of things to overcome. It's not a destination as much as a quest almost, right, Jeremy?
Sure. Yeah, it's a journey.
How quickly is it growing? How quickly do you think people are going to start to put a lot of this to the mainstream reality?
You know, I think a lot of that has to do with the technology that we roll out, you know, and how we market it. You know, a lot of what UPMA has been this last year is building the technological infrastructure to handle, you know, a huge volume of transactions. In fact, one thing that we've got going special for us this week is we have a grand opening of our new facility. We built a brand new facility, including a vault, and that's just on the Alpine Roundabout here in Utah, on the northeast corner. We got a banner out. We've been giving free silver to people opening accounts.
Free silver.
Yeah, we did.
Now, folks, that's better than the lottery because you win every time, right?
Yeah, there were fewer than 1,000 rounds created, so it's got a numismatic value, commemorating the passage of the Utah Legal Tender Act. And we've been giving those to folks that have been opening accounts at our grand opening. And again, that's at the northeast corner of the roundabout in Alpine. We've got UPMA has a building there now.
How knowledgeable does the average person need to be if I want to use my UPMA account to deal with them? They don't really have to be knowledgeable if I get one of the debit cards or some of the other tools you guys are enabling, right?
No, you don't have to be super tech savvy. In fact, it's pretty easy to open a UPMA account. It takes about 2 minutes, and it can be done online at upma.org.
Then they got to fund that account by what? Buying liquid gold?
Sure. I mean, you could fund it with a check. You could fund it with a wire. You could fund it with cash. You could fund it with, you know, maybe you got a bunch of rounds somewhere that you want to convert to legal tender. We've done that for folks as well.
How much do you need to have in your account to make it viable, to cover some of the fees that are included, to use it on a day-to-day basis? Now, I know somebody would say, well, Sam, it depends on how much you want to spend and how much you want to use it, obviously. It is like a bank account in that sense that, hey, you know, there's a balance in there and you can do things with it. But what kind of reality do you see for people? Is it a day-to-day transaction venue yet, or is it more of a I want to hedge my bets in the economy? Or, you know, where do you find these accounts being used the most, and how much does it really take to make a viable account happen?
Okay. I'd say that 9 out of 10 people really just use these things as a deep savings account or a highly liquid savings account where you can, you know, shoot money back to your bank account at a moment's notice, you know, if you've got some expenses coming up. As far as average size, we do charge a $2.50 membership fee every month on all the accounts. So if you've only got $100 in there, you know, over the course of the next year, we're gonna charge you, what, $30? That's 30%. Yeah, that's worse than a coin store. But if you've got $1,000 or $2,000, you know, I think our average account size is about $10,000, you know. The $2.50 is, you know, a lot more negligible. In fact, somebody pointed out that on a $50,000 account, you know, with all our membership and vaulting fees, it would take 10 years to lose as much money as you would walking out the door of a coin store.
That's significant. And when you put it in the $2.50 a month, it sounds expensive, but people don't understand. Even when you buy those debit cards or prepaid Visas or anything else, and they cost a couple of bucks just to fuel or just to add money to the mix. When you do a bank account, you know, they get their fees somewhere. And if you don't keep a certain balance, then they penalize you. And if you don't have that account, then there's a fee for the account monthly. And most of the time, the fees are bigger than that, right?
Sure. I mean, I'd be compared to a reloadable debit card. I mean, some of those will cost you $10 a month, you know, or, you know, you're paying every time you load it.
All right, Kurt, are you starting to use your account? The UPMA account?
It's one of the things I need to do better. I've got the app on my phone, you know, where you can go to the app store and look for UPMA.
Is the app working, Jeremy, at this point? Is it available?
You know, we do have an app. It'll just forward you onto the mobile site, though, which is upma.org.
Okay, so the app leads to the site.
You just plug upma.org into your phone, and that's, you know, we're probably going to redo the app at this point. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have you download it.
All right, so the website's the key. It's mobile-friendly, and you can use the app or that. It's something that you know, people have to transition to it. And one of the things you guys offer is training to help people with that, right?
Sure. Sure. You know, we have people calling into our office every day trying to figure this out. And, you know, but most members, you know, join online and they never have to talk to us because it's pretty intuitive. You know, if you go online, you can find all the information you need pretty quick. It's just at upma.org.
All right, it's something that takes effort. It's something that isn't easy. What about businesses, though? Is there anything special they need to do, or can they just accept it? First off, they got to have an account, right?
Yeah, you know, we can open business accounts. It's going to require a first and last name of the person, but under a full legal name, you can put a business name or a trust or whatever else you want to do.
Can people use it for political campaigns and donations?
They have before, sure.
All right, Kurt, you can run you're running for office right now, aren't you, Kurt?
Yep, yes, that's right, Sam.
What are you running for?
You know, the latest thing I signed up was to run for mayor. There was only one candidate running, and I thought, man, that's pretty boring.
Kurt and Jenny running for mayor.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, are you gonna tell people they got to donate to your UPMA account to go ahead and do it? And
I usually forget to even tell them to donate, but I need to do that.
Well, Kurt, you don't raise much money if you forget to donate.
That's right.
Where are you running for the mayor of?
In Cedar Hills is what it is. Cedar Hills, Utah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Kurt runs for office. I never run for office. That's because I'm not very patriotic. What it really comes down to. Right, Kurt?
No, it's because you don't and I do.
No, all right.
It's just the reason.
Maybe I'm just afraid. That's part of the problem.
I wouldn't
all right,
say
Mark
that.
Zuckerberg, the big, you know, Facebook tycoon, if you will, he has a very strange idea, and I want to get Jeremy and Kurt's take on this. Mark Zuckerberg pushes for what's called, quote, universal income. I'll explain. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Kirk Crosby, Jeremy Corden, and Sam Bushman chatting about UPMA.org, Utah Precious, or I'm sorry, United Precious Metals Association. Get your liquid gold account today. Deal with honest money with a modern interface for absolute usability. It's the best of both worlds. The old, tried, and true of good, honest weights and measures money with a new interface. UPMA.org, which is accessible from your iPhone or your smartphone or your device anywhere. And I mentioned that Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, the tycoon over there, believes in this idea called universal income, Kurt. Do you know what that means?
I suppose it's some take on, you know, the, what is it, living wage kind of idea, but what is it, Sam?
Well, it's a little more government-centric and holistic than that, Kurt. Rather than a livable wage, you don't need to really work for this. Universal income means that everybody just by nature gets a check from their government, buddy. A sustainable income, if you will. And Mark's pushing for this. He thinks this is the answer to the woes of the world. Do you want to respond, Kurt? And then we'll have Jeremy respond to this.
Well, maybe Mark is, Zuckerberg's just not aware of the fact that in America we have what's called a Constitution. In the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10 says, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. And it also, you know, at least we've seen this kind of idea over and over where people think if you just give people enough, somehow it's going to make the world a better place. It doesn't help people when you give them things that they don't earn.
Amen to that. There's several flaws or fly in the ointment scenarios with this for Mark Zuckerberg. Number one. You know, Kurt, it reminds me of this tax debate. You know how a rich guy's always like, yeah, we ought to raise taxes. Taxes are good. We ought to raise them. And Kurt and I always remind that guy, there's nothing really stopping him from sending all of his money into the government. There's no reason we need to raise taxes. He could just send all of his money in if he's that, you know, willing to give everybody else's money away by force. He could do his own by volunteering. The same thing's true with Mark Zuckerberg. Mark, with your billions and billions of dollars, there's nothing stopping you from writing everybody a check, right? I mean, Mark could just write all Americans a check monthly and just say, I love you. You know what? And but what Mark wants to do is sit back and use some government edict by the barrel of a government gun make his demands, which means you have to rob from Peter to pay Paul to get that universal income to everybody or whatever. Why doesn't Mark just volunteer, Jeremy? I mean, he's free to go ahead and spend his billions any way he wants. He could write Jeremy a check and Sam and Kurt and everybody and their dog a check. He doesn't need any government permission or anything to do that. What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, it sounds like maybe we lost
people,
Jeremy.
Well, these people there like to, I think they like to take other people's money. And they like to spend it. You know, Margaret Thatcher famously said, you know, the problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money, right? But, you know, it's not, and people talk about how socialism doesn't work. You know, if socialism did work, it'd still be immoral because you're stealing and redistributing. You know, these people that are going to get this basic income, that has to come from somewhere, and it's going to come from the people that worked for it and the people that earned it, you know, which is theft. You know, I wouldn't encourage stealing in any other sense. So why is that okay?
Well, it's not. And that's why I find it fascinating that Mark holds on to his billions while he wants to push for this government-mandated universal income idea for everybody. But he could always just start with his own free will and choice and his own money. And he could just say, hey, I led by example. I wrote everybody a check and gave all my money away. You know, he wouldn't even have a universal income if he gave all his money away, though.
Sure.
All right, I guess the Mexico drug wars are heating up, and I want to bring up this headline in conjunction with this Mark Zuckerberg story, and the reason I want to is because if we had honest money, neither of these things would be happening. If we had honest gold and silver, you couldn't give everybody an income. There wouldn't be the ability to even consider such an idea. One of the things that honest money does is restrict government's ability to create mischief and moral hazard. And we wouldn't even be proposing a universal income for everybody if we had real honest money at the helm, because there just wouldn't be enough to create it out of thin air. In other words, it would actually be worth something, Jeremy.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you know, I mean, the system is designed to steal from you, whether it's blatantly socialist or not. You know, every time the Federal Reserve prints another $1 trillion, they suck all that value out of the savings that's already out there. You know, and at some point, people are going to wake up and start saving a whole lot less in the Federal Reserve now, and a whole lot more in just about everything else, which, you know, I think is great, and I think it's, you know, it deserves to happen.
Hey, Kurt, they're thinking about removing Nancy Pelosi.
Let them do it.
Sure, hate to see Nancy go away. I mean, you know, she's been such a, you know, freedom lover and friend of the American patriot, hasn't she, Sam?
I think she's signing up for a UPMA account pretty soon.
Well, it's available like even to Nancy, yeah.
Right now, there's statements that the Trump administration is going to get rid of the Amtrak long-haul service, Kurt. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. You know, it couldn't happen soon enough, in my opinion.
It's been losing money for generations, my friend.
Yeah, well, so many government things have, and that's just one more of them, huh?
Yes. So if we get rid of Pelosi, if we literally get rid of the Amtrak long-haul service, if we can deal with these drug wars properly. See, these drug wars wouldn't be occurring either if we had honest money. It'd be a lot harder for these drug wars to just trade cash and drugs and all that kind of stuff. Now, did you see the CNN fiasco going on, Kurt? There's two CNN stories that are of interest. First one, CNN tries blackmail. Did you see this?
I think it was about this guy, you know, some kid or whatever, that basically made this, you know, cool little video that Trump tweeted or whatever about, you know, it shows a guy that maybe looks like Trump taking down something with a little CNN logo on it. And so then they've said they're going to out the guy. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess it was like Red Book or whatever the thing's called. Red.
Reddit.
Read it. All right, whatever. He created this on, and then where Trump got it from there, who knows, but they're threatening to out this guy. Now there's a big old battle about, you know, CNN is literally using the big power of the media to threaten this guy. And my response is, does this guy, did he not want to be outed? Kurt, is this really a secret? Should this be a secret?
I guess after they found out who did it or whatever, you know, he said he apologized, or he or she said they apologized, and then, you know, asked that their name or whatever not be outed, simply because they kind of fear retribution or repercussions. You've seen this. I mean, you got the one congressman that's lying in the hospital right now because a guy goes to practice baseball game and looks for Republicans to shoot. You've got, you know, some pretty rough stuff going on in America, Sam.
Yes, and all I can tell you is that, you know, do you think this guy should be outed?
Well, I think CNN's got a lot more things they ought to work on than that, at least in my opinion.
I just find it fascinating how this guy's now not really worried about publishing this, but worried about the repercussions down the line. Now, some are saying that CNN is thinking about, well, that they might put it on the chopping block, Kurt. Did you see that? You want to buy CNN, my friend?
I was trying to, is it AT&T? Who's thinking of buying them? I can't remember for sure, but, you know, the media, he who owns the media makes the rules, just like you've taught us for so long, Sam. And these entities are very valuable. They can promote or, you know, change people's mind, promote ideas, and CNN's no different than that, any of those. And that's why they're attractive to big companies, whether you're Amazon that buys the Washington Post or whoever else, AT&T, I think the big boys, NBC is owned by GE, if I remember right. You know, so they play in those areas, don't they?
Yeah, and I see half of the stuff that goes on, if there was honest money, it just couldn't go on. Building the military industrial complex, going to war, doing a lot that we do wouldn't even be able to happen as far as I can see. Trump, I guess, though, donating his salary, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right. According to the dailycaller.com, Trump donates presidential salary to restoring Civil War battlefield. Never saw Obama donate any of his salary, as far as I know. Anyway, they say Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke announced that Trump's $78,333 donation in front of a crowd gathered at Antietam, Trump's salary will go toward restoring the newcomer House Civil War Information Center and a 5,000 feet of Civil War-style fencing. So, Zinke said, as a former Navy SEAL, he says, I can find no better investment in our country than our battlefields. It's preserving our heritage of why we fight. We fight for our family, we fight for our friends, we fight for our country, and we fight for freedom. And no doubt the area around us is a kind of reflection, as all of our children, our children's children, will walk through these grounds and realize what a great country we restored.
And your response?
Well, all I can say is Donald Trump could do better with his money, but he could sure do worse with it.
All right, last story quickly. Hobby Lobby in the news, Kurt.
Yeah, it looks like Hobby Lobby's got some bureaucrats after it. They say they're going to pay a $3 million fine. The folks are after Hobby Lobby, Sam.
Yes, they are. And again, you wouldn't have all this money running around where they could pay big fines everywhere if we were on honest money. UPMA.org, check it out today. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. LibertyRoundtable.com. Get involved in every way, including financial, would you please? This nation shall endure.